The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 14 minutes and 25 seconds. There is a station ID at 8 minutes and 53 seconds, and 2-second pauses every 3 minutes.
You've connected with Rain Hamcast podcast number 100 for November 4th, 2023. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY. If you are an HF aficionado, just how low can you go? For many decades, licensed ham operators could not transmit below 160 meters. That's 1.8 megahertz, according to the ARRL website. In 2012, the World Administrative Radio Conference voted to reallocate 472 to 479 kilohertz and 135.7 to 137.8 kilohertz to the amateur service. In 2019, Tim Selner, W9SRW, a retired Green Bay, Wisconsin ham, let his curiosity get the best of him. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, recently spoke with Tim about life below AM radio.
Just a little bit of background here about both the 2200 meter band and the 630 meter band. 2200 meters have been around since 1997, was first okayed to be used at especially low power. I think it was down to a half or 1 watt. And the 630 meter band didn't really come into view until 2012. As of right now, it's 10 watts effective isotropic radiated power. It's very important that you know that there's a WSJT-X software. It's the same software used in other parts of the band, 75 and 40 and 20 and so forth. There's a special software called FST4, Foxtrot Sierra Tango 4, which is used to communicate on 2200 and 630 meters. I'm running right now 200 watts of the variometer on 630 meters, which gives me about 4 watts effective radiated power. And on 2200 meters, I have probably a little less than a watt of effective radiated power, and that's about with 300 watts into the loading coil. It's very important to have a good ground plane, a lot of ground radials. I have 41 ground radials of various sizes, and I'm in the city lot, so they're laid out wherever I can find a space for them to be laid. The antenna systems are very important. I'm using what's called a Marconi T. It's basically, it looks like a 75-meter dipole with in the center, instead of having a coax connection, is it just one wire connecting to the rest of the horizontal pieces coming down into what's called a variometer. And a variometer is used to vary the inductance to the antenna and loading and tuning. Getting that set properly is really important. There's a lot of guys that use a 75-meter dipole and they bring it into the shack and they connect the center and the connector and on the shield and run that into the variometer, and it works just peachy. And a variometer is usually set up by using a nano VNA. If you're not familiar with that, you buy them on Amazon or whatever for $70-$80. It helps to tell you where the impedance of the antenna is, the loading coil, when where it's resonant, and it really is very, very helpful. It's a must-have. Again, it's a nano VNA. There's a website called 472.khz.org, 472kilohotelzulu.org. It's a wealth of information up there. And if you've looked already, there's different type of transmitters, receivers, amplifiers up there. But one of the best parts is that it lists a lot of the radios that are available on the market and can be used to put signals out on 630 and 2200 meters. I'm running an ICOM 735. It's got a digital display, but it's an analog radio. And with a few capacitors and inductors change, you can get 60, 70 watts output, which is fine for the 630 meter band, although it will not go to the 2200 meter band.
I have a Kenwood TS590SG.
It works both on 630 and 2200 meters, both transmit and receive. But the output of that radio is only 1 milliwatt. On the back of the radio, there's a DRV connector, and that'll put out 1 milliwatt on 630 and 2200 meters. And then you need an amplifier. Tom, Whiskey Bravo 4, Juliet, Whiskey Mike, has kits available both for 630 and 2200 meters. And if you have the knack of putting together parts and a little bit of building and soldering and looking for FETs, you can get a very reasonable price and get on either band with a reasonable amount of power, 200-300 watts. my 200 watts that I have on 630 meters gives me about 4 watts of effective radiated power on 630. There's a lot of loss in the coil. The 2200 meter loading coil is even more lossy. My loading coil is about 40 to 50 inches tall, 28 inches in diameter, and it's wound with hundreds of turns of coil to get it to resonate to the antenna.
Does the coil actually get hot?
I've heard if you're running a fair amount of power, it does. I've not had that issue. My coils are not immediately available. They're out in the back 40. I generally don't go and feel them, but you have to be very careful. The wire, the hot end of the loading coil going out to the T or whatever you have for horizontal antenna could have 1,500 to 2,000 volts of RF at that point. So you have to be very cautious and have good insulation. I've seen it where they burned up over and over, lots of RF going into it.
What is the allowable output?
10 watts effective isotropic radiated power. It's a single vertical radiator. It's comparing the output to a true vertical piece of wire.
How does propagation on 630 compare to 160 meters there, 1.8? Megs.
Good question. 630 meters is good between sundown and sunup. It isn't any good. It's just like listening to the broadcast band, and you're going to find out that your propagation is going to get much better in the evening, which is the same thing with 630 meters. Much more picky. You know, you can't depend on exact same propagation, you know, any particular day, a time of night. It's like looking for rare DX. And all right, now the propagation is getting better as we're getting more into winter, and we get into December and January, propagation even gets better, and that's when you get some of the transatlantic communications that you're not going to see right now. Communication distances right now at 630 is probably in the 500 to 1200 mile range.
Which is not too shabby, actually.
It's getting better. On 2200 meters, it's even less than that. You'll need longer antennas, more loading coils.
What's the biggest problem operating down there is power that you need to actually get out at all?
It's really coming down to not so much the software, because that's the same software that we're running on WSJT, but it's how you connect it to the antenna. How's your loading coil working? Is it resonant? Is the antenna high enough and long enough to be effective? Also, it gets very noisy down on those frequencies. I have a Marconi of T for the transmitter, and it's 100 feet long. It's about 60 to 70 feet in the air. For receiving, I use a beverage antenna, which is nothing more than a long, long piece of wire. In my case, it's 450 feet long, terminated in about a 300, 400 ohm resistor. That gives me about a 10 dB advantage, better receive quality than I do with Marconi T. So having the right antennas really makes a huge difference.
The beverage antenna is essentially on the ground or close to it.
It's close to it. There are some they call BOGs, beverage on ground. They're supposed to work. I don't have one. I just have the beverage. It's about 48 inches or 50 inches off the ground.
I guess I always thought the beverage antennas were a foot off the ground.
They could be, but they're more typically something a little bit higher.
You're listening to a brief look at hamming below AM radio with Tim Sellner, W9SRW. A retired Green Bay, Wisconsin ham who now knows how low he can go below the AM broadcast band. We'll conclude Hap Holly KC9RP's conversation with Tim after we pause for station ID. This is Rain Hamcast Podcast number 100 for November 4, 2023. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Rain Hamcast on therainreport.com and on the Rain Report page on YouTube.
When you talk about propagation, what creates the most noise in that part of the spectrum?
There's a number of different things. I haven't been able to track them all down, but different type of LED fixtures, grow lights, the solar panels and the controllers used for those have a lot of garbage type interference. It could be just as simple as an LED light bulb causing. I had one here on the second floor that was radiating all kinds of garbage. So a little bit of detective work, loop antennas to see where the garbage is coming from would be helpful. This is now digital stuff, so it's all PC generated.
Oh.
It was very, very, very little sideband on 630. I've never heard sideband on 2200, but it is possible to use sideband. And there's quite a number of guys that operate just standard CW, especially in the early morning hours. And it works just fine. It's the same things you would expect from 160 meter band.
It used to be for some years over in Europe that 200 to 400 kilohertz was a long wave broadcast spectrum, if you will.
The 2200 meter band is 136 kilohertz, 136 KC. So that would be below that 200 KC mark. But FYI, I've accumulated communications with 41 states so far and Canada and Caribbean. So just got to wait for the right propagation. So much varies with the sunspot cycle. Right now, it's very active sunspots, which means that's not very good for propagation on the low frequencies.
Do you have a gray line down there?
Gray line does work. You can actually see it work. And absolutely, sure. That's when things start coming alive at gray line.
What about backscatter or any of that kind of stuff?
No backscatter. What you can expect on 630 meters is what you expect on the AM broadcast band.
You've been operating down there 4 or 5 years on 630, only quite recently on
2200.
Is there a reason why you only just as of recent have begun to be active on?
Good questions. Remember, you talked about which radios are going to be used. I have this old ICOM 735. I was able to modify it directly and be on the air with that radio and not needing an amplifier or anything else. It's more difficult. It has to be done. You have to have a better antenna. You have to have a bigger loading coil. And there's not so many people on 2200, and the propagation is not as good as it is on 630. A lot of guys that use the 630 and 2200 beacon, so it's just it's called Whisper, Weak Signal Propagation Reporting. And the beacon says, hey, I'm here. This is W9SRW and running, you know, from Wisconsin. Been heard all around the United States and into Europe, but they're not able to make a two-way communication there to Europe.
What frequencies specifically are the beacons on?
There's a spot in each of the bands that's allocated for beacon and only beacons in that area. So I have to look it up because it's all automatic. When you go to Whisper, it just sets you into that band and deviate outside of it.
If someone wants more information, where should they go?
Start with 472khz.org, and I think there's a couple forums in there for asking questions. I haven't visited it recently, but that would be a good place to start. And you can always drop an email to me. I'm good at QRZ.
That's W9SRW on QRZ.
And that concludes our brief look at life below AM radio, 472 to 479 kilohertz. Or 630 meters, and 135.7 to 137.8 kilohertz. That's 2200 meters. Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with retired Green Bay, Wisconsin ham Tim Sellner, W9SRW. You can go to 472kilohertz.org for more information. That's 472.khz.org. That's a wrap on this Rain Hamcast podcast for November 4, 2023. This Hamcast typically updates every other Saturday. Rain Hamcast podcast number 101 will post November 18, 2023. Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this bi-weekly Ham Radio Hamcast without monetization. Your support via PayPal and feedback on therainreport.com are appreciated. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative, 4.0 International License. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit the Rain Report in its entirety via ham radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu and 9JDI for posting the not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via the Rain Report channel on YouTube. Copyright 1985-2023 Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights are reserved. A very 73 from Rain. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY. Keep on hamming.